All right, good morning. Hey, the clock up there, it says 12:45, so that means all things are off. Just kidding. But we're just so excited for what the Lord wants to do today. Will y'all promise me this? We won't go into audience mode here. Because where we're going is going to require you to embrace. That's it. To embrace who you are, embrace that mission. I feel like it's our generation's greatest hour in the church. Can't pray for revival and then not have a footprint in what God's about to do. And so I just really want to encourage you to not just think, oh, the leader, Tim's going to do something today. No, we are. We're going to do something today together. So I want to talk to you for a minute, and those of you who are online, we just welcome you. We're sorry for the technical difficulties this morning, but we just want to welcome you to being in our community with us today. We're so excited to have you. And I feel so much, can I say this? I want to preference this, not false responsibility, responsibility from the Lord. Because we can take on false responsibility and it's dangerous. But when the Lord is literally handing us something and saying, will you be my servant? It's like when Isaiah was in the presence of God in Isaiah 6. And God just says, who will go for me? I don't think he was talking to Isaiah. I think he was talking to the atmosphere. And Isaiah said, I'll go. I'll do it. I'll do that. And I feel like right now there is a call going out from heaven, saying, who will take hold of my mission again? Who will take hold? And he's just looking for people who have a willing heart. Say, I'll do it. Like, we have South African praying for our nation this morning, guys. Why? Because when the call goes out, it's not about nation lines. It's about, I'll do that. I'll go there. I'll hold the line there. And I just believe, so I want to talk to you for a minute about powerful prayer. And because I want to tell you, I believe there's a big difference in religious prayer and earth-shaking, kingdom of God, powerful prayer. And I want to start by saying this. I'm totally off my notes already. You can't earn anything in the kingdom. Nothing can be earned. You cannot twist God's arm. He wants it more than you do. You cannot play poker with God and say, I'll put a little, and then you come back around the circle, and then I'll put a little more. He's saying, I am looking for a people who understand who I am and pray from that place. I am looking for a people. I'm going to quote the verse in James in a little bit. Who pray powerful and effective prayers that were so powerful and effective, 1,000 years later, they were saying, Elijah, pray powerful and effective prayers. Why? Because he had tapped into something more than a religious atmosphere that was happening in his day and his time that wasn't moving heaven and it wasn't moving God. Okay, that was pretty good. Y'all went quiet. See, we have to understand he needs you to embrace so much that what's going to come out of you is powerful. Powerful prayer. Not just token prayer. Not religious prayer. Not grocery list prayer. Listen, I grew up in grocery list prayer. They taught us to make a list and just tell these things that you need to God. And the truth is, I saw very few of those prayers answered. Because I didn't realize that prayer was something so much deeper than here's my needs, God. If I understand in Matthew, it tells us God already knows what we need. So then there's got to be something deeper. There's got to be an invitation to something more. And God said, from that place of more, powerful prayers come. Prayers that change nations. Prayers that tear down things that are against the kingdom of God. See, I want you to embrace something today that in this room right now, we have more than we're at the day of Pentecost. And it changed the world. But they chose to go somewhere deep with God. And what came out of it? Powerful, effective prayers. Acts 6, the building shook. The prayers were so powerful. See, I don't want that to be a good story. I want to tell you, first of all, it's a true story. It happened. It happened. But I don't want it to be a fable to my children and their children. We're like, you can pray so much, the building shakes. You can pray so powerfully. And then be like, oh yeah, I shook on the inside. No, I want the building to shake. That's what God is looking for in us today. He's looking, and I'm telling you, there's an offer today that God is saying you can pray a religious standard, a way that we've been taught, a way that the enemy wants us to stay in, or you can choose to be powerful and effective. So just turn with me to your Bibles. Clint actually already read this. No, it's great. I actually heard the Lord say this. There will be more preaching on this verse today than maybe ever in America. And it excited me. It says, if my people, I just want to say, that's you. That's the people that Peter was talking about, that we are a chosen people, a holy nation, a chosen people. He said, I chose the people who will carry my heart. I chose the people who will know what I'm doing. I chose the people who will stand. I chose the people who will be powerful. I chose the people who will show signs and wonders and declare the kingdom of God is at hand. If my people, so everyone in this room, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this verse is about you. No, there's no getting out of it. Like, well, that sounds like I might have to die a little bit for that to happen. That's great. Because the more you die, the more you live. I've learned that. The more I die, the more I live. And we have to see that. You are the people, if my people, who are called by my name, Christians, carriers of Christ. You know who named them that? The world. They were like, those people are like Christ. What should we call them? Christians. We should call them Christians. Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins. So see, it's a personal thing that starts. And then I'll heal their land. See, it's time for us to be stirred up and release those powerful and effective prayers as God's children. And I'll just tell you something that very much stirs me. And if this bothers your theology, I'm not trying to step on any toes. I'm just, know this, I don't want an Old Testament covenant person like Elijah to be praying more powerful prayers than me in the new covenant. I think about that. I just like, God, He was seeing a shadow of what I'm living in. He was seeing just a glimpse of who You were. I mean, He would be in here in our worship and be like, yeah, this is what I saw. And I'm thinking to myself, God, if someone from it calls it in Hebrews an inferior covenant can pray something power and effective, and I live in a better covenant, Can I move into that place where I have tapped into what He saw and released something so genuine and so pure in you that, God, You can't help but to be moved? That's what I'm talking about today. And I want to talk about, so if we're going to talk about prayer, we have to undo things. Because let me just say this, every one of us in here can pray better. And it's not an indictment on how you've prayed or where you've prayed or how you laid or what it looked like. But it is a call for more. It is a call to say, oh, Tim said I'm not good at prayer. I said, no, there's an offer for more. There's an offer to do something that the generations look back and say, they held the line and then they advanced. See, I can't let it be written in our generation that we slept through the most important moment ever. Or we just thought it was God's will, even worse. Oh, that got real quick, didn't it? So what does powerful prayer look like? I want to do this quickly because we're going to do something at the end that will require every one of you, all of your spirit man to rise up. Because I believe this, what we're going to do today will mark our region, our state, and our nation if we'll believe in faith. I don't care if we're the only ones praying. Got good news. We're not. But even if we were, it's enough. So I heard this quote this week. We got to go listen to Bill Johnson a little bit. He said this, and how many know sometimes when someone says something and it won't go away, it's God echoing it in you. And he said, if I come to God in prayer and I leave the same, I wasn't praying, I was complaining. If I come to God in prayer, and if I leave the same as that when I came in, I wasn't praying, I was complaining. Oh yeah, I can feel it sinking in. If I come to God and I leave the same as when I come in, I wasn't praying, I was complaining. And I think what the enemy has tried to do in our prayer is make it so natural and understood by our natural minds and understood where, well, if I do this, God will do this. Have y'all found that doesn't work? Because He's not a God of formula. So the minute you put formula on it, I will tell you, He will hold back because He says, I'm a God of relationship. And even if that worked the time and the time and the time, even if it worked 10 times, and then you have more faith in the formula than you do the connection with God, He will pull back from that. And He's saying, why? Because I want you to come in to me. I'm the gate. Remember? John 10. I come in the gate. See, we're the sheep. I know most of us want to, I'm a warrior. You're a sheep? A warrior sheep that bites. No, don't bite. No biting. Biting sheep are bad. I've learned that 20 years of doing this. But no, we have all these identities in Christ, but one of them is a sheep. Why? Because if we don't see ourselves as a sheep, we won't go through the gate. We start thinking that we're powerful enough to not have to go through the gate. And God said, I need you to go through the gate. Why? Because I'm going to change you in prayer. I've never been changed in prayer. I've been persuaded, but I've never been changed in prayer, but I have changed a lot of people in prayer. Why? He's got to change our hearts. He's got to change our minds. He's got to change our attitudes. He's got to change our opinions. Most of all, He's got to get us out of this realm into His realm. See, you want to pray powerful prayers? I need you to pray from heaven. I need you to get out of the boat. We're all talking about the winds and the waves. And God was saying, look at the miracle about to come. So first one, what does powerful prayer look like? You've all heard me say this, but I will never stop saying it. Powerful prayer is the Jesus model and its connection with the Father. Its connection with the Father. Jesus, I ran out of time to count, but I know this, 20 times in Matthew it says withdrew to pray. So if you're wondering if it's important, and we're going to live the Jesus model on earth, we have to recognize that Jesus' life source was prayer with the connection with the Father. It wasn't even revelation of His identity, because His identity hinged on connection to the Father. And I love all the identity, the revelation that's come up in the last generation. Identity without connection to the Father will always cause pride. And we have to understand that Jesus was the most humble man to ever walk on earth, and He was carrying the identity of I'm the Son of God. What was keeping Him humble? Being with God. And God telling Him what was going to happen and telling Him, hey, you know those 12 you got with you? They're a mess, but they're going to change the world. He's telling them, don't worry. They're going to do something really dumb today. They're like going to call like fire down on a city. And you're going to have to tell them, don't do that because it could happen. They're going to bicker over who's the greatest. Why? Because they haven't figured out that they're the servant of all. They haven't figured those things out. So, I mean, I always think, how is Jesus not so frustrated? Because He was with the Father. And He was understanding that this prayer, this connection with God was causing the kingdom of God to be stirred up on earth. Why? Because He was the revelation of the kingdom of God. And He was saying, hey God, when we get together, I realize more of what you're doing. And then let's get the opposite. You ever wonder if the enemy was tempting Jesus to get mad at the world every day? Like, oh man, they're not worth saving. They're not worth it. They're not worth these miracles you're doing. They're not worth it. And they're not believing when you do it. Why? He was in full accusation mode towards the world. But you know what God was saying when they would get in there? Man, I'm crazy about them. I sent you for them. We're going to save them all. Some of them that rejected today will take you off the cross and lay down their life for you in 3 years. What am I saying? God will lead us and guide us. And prayer is not about how much we can communicate to God. Let me read you a verse. Put your seatbelt on. Because I believe this is how most of us pray. I'm going to start in 9. This is Jesus talking, not Tim. Matthew 6. I'm going to start in 9. Everybody's like, starting in 9 where? Matthew 6, 9. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue on the streets and corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. That's 6:9. 6:9. Matthew 6:9. But mine says it. Oh, it's 6:5. I see it. We won't say that I need glasses. We'll just say it's the light glaring off of my Bible. They are. They're blessed and holy. We won't say that my dad needed glasses at this point. Yeah. When you pray, in verse 5, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. Two things about this verse. First one is, prayer has a reward. How you, where you get your reward will be determined by how you pray. You will either get one on earth, and people are like, oh, that was such a beautiful prayer. Or you will get one in heaven because it moved God's heart. And God is saying, hey, there's a way to pray that only fulfills you. There's a way to pray that is so self-centered and so looking for it to be about you that you will walk away with a small reward. But you won't walk away moving heaven. And I don't even want to get into like if it's secret, undone. Listen, if your heart is pure, you can pray and God will be moved. But he also says some of this is private. Why? Because it's connection to the Father. It's not about your words. It's not about how much you can communicate. How do we know that? Keep going on. It says, but when you pray, go into prayer to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That's good news. That's the reward I'm looking for. Why? I just wanted to tell you, remind you that in Hebrews it says, those who diligently seek Him, He will reward. So part of the seeking is this connection with God in prayer. See, a lot of people come to me like, I don't want to seek God. Get in there and connect with the Father. It will show you the way. He will show you where to go. It says, and when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they are heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Now, there are many trials and tribulations of observing church life as a teenager. How many did that? You were in the church as a teenager. You know the easiest thing to do is judge like crazy. Why? Because a lot of things don't match what's going on in the Bible. And if you, honestly, 12-year-old Tim, 13-year-old Tim, if you had told me, what is the worst thing on the planet, I would have said a prayer meeting. Why? Because many prayer meetings that I went on forgot this verse. The idea was, how much can we communicate in an hour? How much can we try to twist God's arm because we don't think He wants to do it as bad as our emotions feel like right now? And I would watch. And don't get me wrong, my judgment was terrible sin. And I have reaped all kinds of woodshed from the Lord for it. But it also caused me to say, I will not pray this way. I will find the heart of God in this. And I remember reading this verse and I was like, that's it. Prayer is not how much you say. It's about who you're with. I'm going to say it again. Prayer is not how much you say. Or if you say everything right, for those of you that like, I want to be perfect in this, it's about who you're with. And then Jesus just kind of drops a little hint in the next verse. He says, don't be like them. For you know the Father knows what you need before you ask Him. See, if you have the heart of the Father, you understand who God is. You understand He knows what you need. The verse that's so been stirring me lately is in Galatians, where it says, you know, those of you who are known, who know God and are known by God. In Galatians 4:9, I think it is. And he's, I feel like there's a place in prayer where God gets to know us. See, if you're in a marriage and you're not communicating, it's a disaster. Why? Because you're in a covenant that is made to let you be in intimacy, which is in the into me you see. And if you don't let them see you, then you're actually breaking covenant. See, but it's the same in this covenant with God. If we come to Him and all we do is, here's what we need, here's what we need, here's what we need. And if we understand like the Bible where they just keep babbling on, God's like, I want to tell you what I want. And would you tell me what you want? Would you tell me your heart? Would you tell me what's going on the inside? Would you tell me how you're feeling right now? Doesn't mean it's right, but I love to hear it. Would you let me see into you right now? See, if I don't do that with Elizabeth, I'm immediately telling her, I have a spot that you're not allowed in. And it may be that way with you. We're like, I found that I don't even do it intentionally with God. I'm just busy telling Him all the things that He should be doing on earth. And He's like, I need to see into you right now. I need you. Why are you praying that way? Why are you hurting? Why are you afraid? I'm going to get to fear prayer in a minute. But I believe much prayer is done in fear instead of faith. And He's saying, why are you so afraid? Tell me why you're afraid and I'll meet you there. And then out of that, your prayer will change. I promise you, to powerful and effective prayers where Jesus is like, now you've got my heart. Why? Because you participated in the covenant with God. You participate. See, He didn't want to cut covenant and then not have you participate. Yes, He will always keep His side and it will carry us. But movers, the ones they write history books about are the ones that participate on their side of the covenant. All of you in here, I want to implore you, but I want to tell you this. I have seen you do it. Your worship this morning was participating in the covenant. And God's just saying, I got another level of prayer to invite you into. It's powerful and effective. Number two, I'm going to do these quick, mainly because the Lord didn't give me a ton on them. Is that fair? Number two, He's looking for prayers of faith. James. I think James was a prayer. If you read James, I think he understood prayer. Interesting enough, he grew up with Jesus. James, the brother of Jesus. I've always wondered, I wonder if he knew how to pray because he just hung out with Jesus when they were little. That's just a thought. It says in James 5:15, I promise those are the correct numbers this time. It says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And I believe that in this generation, I'm just going to speak in our last 15 years of church generation, we have focused on the second part of that, that it will make the sick person well, which is amazing. The amount of healing and breakthrough in our generation, there's probably more miracles on earth besides when Jesus was walking on earth in our generation ever. It definitely recorded miracles, mainly because we all have recording devices. And we walk around and show everyone what's going on. What am I saying though? But I believe that God is about to show us back to, I need prayers offered in faith. Remember Luke 19, when the Son of Man comes back, will He find faith on earth? He's looking for a people who will not pray out of fear. He doesn't want your petition today because you're scared for the nation. Or you're scared your person might not win. Or you're scared of civil war afterwards. All valid things to be concerned about. But are you concerned enough to take the mission and say, okay, wait a minute. I gotta pray in faith here. It's gotta be the prayer of faith. And sometimes you gotta get there with God and say, I don't know how much faith I have in this, but would you, when I get with you, would you impart some faith? And it may just be, God, I know you love us, so do your thing. It may be that he downloads a whole vision of what it looks like to pray in faith for right now. But I'm not just talking about this week, because I don't want you to pray powerful prayers for a 7-day period or an 84-day period. Or, man, we had such a good season of prayer. I feel like God is actually offering us something incredible right now of powerful prayers for a lifetime, where your kids and your grandkids have a picture of you on the mantle and say, these two prayed powerful prayers. And we all sit here today because of their prayers. But see, if you pray powerful prayers, they always lead to this, because the God who we prayed to was faithful and kind and loving and good. What am I saying? It all comes out of his nature. If you don't have enough faith to pray into the circumstances, get into his nature. He's in love with us, guys. He is peace. Listen, I have literally been walking out into my yard and saying, I speak peace over my land, over my nation. Why? Because I have authority over it. And I'm going to keep embracing the mission so I have more authority in it. And I'm going to just keep saying, no God, no God. But this is the generation you have destined to bring the breakthrough of harvest on earth. I said this the other day, I just want to remind you, there's more worship of Jesus going on right now on earth than ever before. That has to lead us to something. Not good songs and meetings, it has to lead us to more faith. For these prayers of faith, let me just read you a verse that I cannot get out of my heart. And I think it has to do with prayer. This is Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. And I have heard so many people talk about like how we get rid of anxiety, but I want to throw a different idea at you about praying in anxiety. Don't be anxious when you come in to pray. Don't be, you got to cast that off because he cares for you. You got to cast that off. Why? Because that will direct your prayer, and it won't be prayers of faith. It'll be prayers of fear. It'll be prayers of anxiety. Man, I remember one time Timothy and I were talking, and listen, we were talking about the kingdom of God, but all of a sudden it came up like, whoa, do you think like we're going to have to hold the line, you know, and with our kids and take care of our kids and civil war? And next thing you know, you're like, oh God, don't let that happen. It wasn't faith. It was fear. And I remember I called you like a month later and I said, hey, when we were talking about that, we let fear get on the inside of us. And it's understood. Why? Because we care about those we love. But the Lord, he was just kept on me. He's like, that's not God. That doesn't please me. That doesn't please me. I need you to be full of faith in this, not anxiety. And then, and of faith. And if even it's a mustard seed of faith, that God, you can do it. That's enough. It's better than a million words out of anxiety. It's better than all the religious tooting of their horns and saying, look how good we're praying right now. One prayer of faith is better than all of that. Last one. Prayer against the plan of the enemy. In Luke 22:32, I promise that's right. Jesus tells Peter, Peter, the devil desires to sift you like wheat in 31. But the most crazy line is, but I have prayed for you. Now, the immature Christian would say, Peter's not going to make it. I've seen the plan of the enemy for Peter. He's going to be sifted like wheat. Wheat, wind is coming and Pete's not going to make it. And everybody's battling who's number two so they can be number one when Pete's out of the way. Oh, I had a little church drama there. I was just throwing that in for fun. But what am I saying? I believe that we have taken things that God is trying to show us and say, I need you to make a difference here, Clint. I need you to make a difference, Spencer. Oh, you have made a difference, Mama. Norma has stood here. She should probably be preaching this right now. Why? Because I have prayed for you, Peter. I've prayed. I've made a difference. I've seen the plan of the enemy, and I have said no. I have seen what the enemy would like, and instead of being spiritual and being like, I know what's going on. Look at me, I know what the atmosphere is like, and it's bad. Listen, I watched something about, I'm going to be careful there. But when I got done, I just said, nope. I will not receive that. Because that was easy. It didn't take any faith to prophesy that. It was easy. And they'll be dead soon, so they don't even care. What? It says that, and there's a king who says, as long as it's good in my day, I don't care what you do in the next generation, God. God was telling him, here's what the enemy wants to do, here's what I want to do, and he says, well, I won't be here, so God, just make it good in my days, and just they'll sort it out. God was not pleased. He was giving him a vision to say, hey, your last days will be greater if you stand here and say, no, this is where we will go. And he is looking for people who will not just come into understanding of what the enemy is doing, but know what to do with it. He will say no to that. I mean, I've been so moved by Abraham. I've been reading about Lot, and you know, God said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And the truth is, Abraham's moved because Lot is there. And he says, well, what if there's 100 righteous people there? Abraham's swinging for the fence with 100. God says, 100, I would hold off. Says, and I love what it says, and boldly he went to God again. Says, what about 50? 50? Now, are we negotiating with God? We are not. We are catching God's heart for people and a city. Now, bad news, next chapter, those people didn't respond. But then Abraham says, I love it. He goes 50, and God says yes. And he says, how about 45? I mean, I thought we were going to go to like 10 there, but he's like, I only got faith for 5 more. And God says, yeah, 45. He says, how about 30? They land on 10. What's crazy is there wasn't even 10. What if they got to 1? Let me just shake your theology for a minute. Lot is considered righteous because of his relationship with Abraham. What if they had got to 1? I don't know. You can ask God when you get to heaven. But I do know this. Abraham standing there talking with God, not negotiating, not saying, I love him more than you do. He was saying, God, what's your heart here? Because I know the plan of the enemy is to bring destruction because of sin. See, it's so easy to fall in a trap. We heard someone talk about Amos 7, and it said, hey, they saw a fire coming and burning the whole field. It was in Judah. And Amos said, oh God, please don't do that. Judah has been your prize. God says, I'll relent. And then he sees lightning come and strike the whole field, and it burns up, and he says, God, we're small in your eyes. I don't really love what he says like that. He's like, we're just, can you, just because he kind of grovels, but God says, I'll relent. What am I saying? There's a place of recognizing what the enemy is doing without receiving it. Powerful prayers are needed, guys. They're needed right now. It's so easy to be like, civil war, worst generation ever, most divided generation ever, most entitled generation ever, most wicked generation ever. That's a lie. Read Corinthians. Read Sodom and Gomorrah. They're trying to pull angels out of a house to have sex with them. That just got real, right? I'm saying, quit thinking we're the worst generation ever. And get God's heart. The enemy's saying, worst ever, deserves it. It's judgment, all these things. And God's saying, no. If my people will pray powerful prayers, humble themselves and pray, they'll write books about the next 100 days of the American church. I said, why do you use that phrase? Because it means it meant something. It meant something. Why do I read about the armies storming the beach of Normandy? Because it meant something. We're all sitting here because it meant something. So I still read. I've seen the movies. I've read all the books. Why does it still inspire me? Because it meant something. It means something. I'm going to take 2 minutes and address unanswered prayer. Because much of our prayer is affected by disappointment. And obviously, I believe the most interesting passage about unanswered prayer is Mark 9, where Jesus is up on the mountain and the disciples are trying to cast out the demon of the young boy. He's throwing himself in the fire. It clearly doesn't go well without Jesus. But let me just tell you, they were experienced at this and had done it before. It wasn't the rookies trying for the first time. They had experience with God. But when they tried it this time, it didn't work. I don't know why. I'm not going to make up some crazy theology here that they had unbelief or because Jesus wasn't with them. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know why. But I do know the answer. And if you think it's prayer and fast, more prayer and fasting to earn it, you're wrong. That's where the generation I grew up in was, you got to pray and fast more. And we'll earn those breakthroughs. No? I believe it's two things. I think it's so amazing what they did. It says they privately called Jesus aside and said, God, Jesus, why didn't that work? We prayed. We cast out demons. I believe the number one thing in unanswered prayer is God is actually asking us to draw alongside and ask Him questions. Ask Him His heart. He may say, you weren't in a good place today. Or He may say, you just need more of my heart here. Or He may say, you haven't understood this and here's some revelation. But He's not going to be like, well, they didn't have any faith and it wasn't your fault. Just, there's a free one for you. He's going to say, let's go deeper. And Jesus then gives them the answer. He says, these only come out by prayer and fasting. I thought you said to him it wasn't by prayer and fasting. I don't think prayer and fasting are a negotiation chip with God. I think it's what we come out with when we pray and fast. It's another invitation to be with Him. Just like calling Him alongside privately, this prayer and fasting is another invitation to connect with the Father. Get in there and understand what's going on. He may just say, oh, you were weary that day. Let me give you some courage. Why am I seeing this? Because we've used disappointment to actually dictate small prayers. Listen, I personally have prayed for more people with cancer that have died than I've prayed to be healed. Does that make me not want to pray for the next one? No way. Does that make me want to pull Jesus aside and say, yeah, hey, what's going on here? Because I know the cross is enough. And He's like, yeah, let's just go on a journey here about your heart. First, we got to get that disappointment out of there. It's not fun, but I know this. I have more faith now than I did before. Don't let disappointment stop your powerful prayers today. Get with God. Get Him privately. Get Him in that closet, whatever it is for you. Okay, could the team come on up? I wanted so much in my heart today to pray for the nation. Chris, we're a long way from that, but you can be ready, okay? And Elizabeth, she way more than me. She got wall wrecked doing the Pledge of Allegiance the other day. Why? Because it's one nation under God without the ability to be divided. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's the freedom. That's the kingdom of God. It's the only way to be free. And so we were just talking about this, and it was like, take responsibility. Don't just keep rolling with where you've been about harvest. Talk about making a difference in powerful prayer today. And I thought, how do we pray? Like we could get up and I'd be like, hey guys, we're going to pray for the nation. And all of us would pray. And I just go, there. But then I remembered Derek Prince once times said this. He said, I love singing because it's unified prayer. It's unified prayer. We're about to all sing the same thing. And if we have the same authority and mission in us, if we have the same, it actually is going to come out as one man or woman in here today. We're going to So we're actually going to sing the blessing today, the song of the blessing. And I want you to sing it over America. Now you can sing it over your kids and things, but can the first 5 minutes that we do this, can you be focused on, I'm going to bless my land. I'm going to bless the atmosphere. I'm going to stand against the enemy. I'm going to sing in faith here, not fear. So I'm going to ask you to stand up. How many are with me? I'm going to ask you again, how many are ready to do this and make a difference? Contending as one right now. First of all, I bless you. I bless you with the mission. Take the mission. Come on, with your hand, I want you to see yourself grabbing the mission. Take the mission. Why? Because the more you embrace it, the more authority you will have to pray. And if you are disqualifying yourself right now, I'm going to tell you, take the mission in the faith that you have. If it's a tiny piece, you say, I can do that. Here comes the power of unity and authority, but most of all, the Spirit of God. If you're with us at home, I encourage you, join with us. Bless your home. Bless your town. Bless your region. And then at some point, now I'm going to give you full freedom. You can move around. I don't really want everyone facing this way. Because that's only north. And there's south and east and west. And we're going to bless our nation. We're going to bless our land.